Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, March 23rd, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7, live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening, live from Washington. I'm Sandra Nyaira. Among our top stories this evening, the Media Institute of Southern Africa says the Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act, AIPA, should be repealed urgently as it continues to violate citizens' rights.
They must be, obviously, compelled by the constitutional provision. There must be extensive amendments to AIPA or a complete repeal of the law.
Lower Gweru villagers benefit from a farming skills improvement project, which they say is changing their lives for the better. And later on, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. The Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act, AIPA, should be repealed as a matter of urgency as it violates the new constitutional provision on citizens' right to access information. MISA says most of AIPA's provisions are in breach of the new constitution and should be struck down immediately, along with other laws not in tandem with the country's new charter. MISA Zimbabwe National Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya says the media watchdog group is negotiating with the government on this and other issues.
They must be, obviously, compelled by the constitutional provision. There must be extensive amendments to AIPA or a complete repeal of the law. I know that Zimbabwe is one of the laws that have an access to information law, but the irony of it all is that the law that we have currently actually imposes undemocratic restrictions on citizens so that they access information. There come some procedures that one has to follow before they could be given information, which is of public interest, that is. So our position is, let us realign the law with the new constitution, because as you know now, the constitution explicitly guarantees access to information as a fundamental human right, and it compels government to enact a law that will ensure the fulfillment of this right, that will ensure that Zimbabweans enjoy the right to access to information. So our position is, yes, let's engage, let's discuss, let us look at all those provisions that are antithetical to Section 62 of the Constitution, which section grants Zimbabweans that liberty to access information from public and private bodies.
So in your discussions with the government, are you only looking at AIPA or other laws that also impinge on the right for Zimbabweans to express themselves and even journalists as well?
AIPA is just but one of laws in a litany of other pieces of legislation. We have the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act, which has several obnoxious provisions that curtail Zimbabweans' right to freedom of expression. You would know that that's the law that criminalizes expression. You would know that that's the same law that criminalizes scrutiny of the president if it is so deemed to be unpalatable. So there's a range of issues. It also curtails open assessment of our defense, of our police. So there are a number of laws. We have also the Official Secrets Act. We also have the Interception of Communications Act. We also have the Broadcasting Services Act, and so on. But what we are saying is, as MISA, we are actually cognizant of the fact that there is need by states to protect information, sensitive information. But what the problem with our laws is that there is no balance, democratic balance, between what can be embargoed and what is of public interest. That's why we are having issues with these pieces of legislation. So in our engagement, we are saying we are cognizant of these realities, international practice and international standards. But let us look at those provisions in a number of acts that we have that curtail or are completely against sections 60 to 62 of the Constitution as we have it now.
MISA Zimbabwe National Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya in Harare. Some villagers in the Midlands Province's Lower Gweru communal area are happy about a farming skills improvement project, which they say is changing their lives for the better as they now practice better farming methods. Correspondent Taurai Shava brings us more.
Farmer Sharon Mpofu is a resident of Mankunzani village in Ward 6, Oskombingo, in the Midlands Province Lower Gweru communal area outside the town of Gweru. Like her counterpart, Mpofu, one of the distinguished farmers in the locality, has been growing the staple maize, beans and groundnuts through dryland farming. But last year, Mpofu teamed up with 9 other locals to form a garden cooperative known as Zwonele under a farming skills improvement project implemented by Help Germany, a non-governmental organization working in collaboration with the Japanese embassy in Zimbabwe. Mpofu told Studio 7 about the project.
We formed our garden cooperative in 2013. There were 10 of us. The people from Help Germany, the organization in charge of the project, told us they would only work with people who were already working in groups. We were initially given seedlings for various vegetables, including tomatoes and onions.
Under the project, 2,000 farmers in groups of 10 formed garden cooperatives, with each group being taught about modern methods of horticulture, including the growing of drought-tolerant crops like sweet potatoes. The farmers also received training in micro-irrigation technology, with each group receiving a treadle pump for watering the gardens. The ultimate objective of the project is to enhance agricultural production, resulting in food as well as household income security and improved nutrition. Mpofu says a group's produce, harvested in January, helped members get extra income for their children's school requirements. Arnold Mavezere, the secretary of another cooperative in the area, says besides helping improve their farming knowledge, the project has also helped them to work together outside gardening ventures.
The difference that the project has brought into our lives is that we are now able to work together in groups in our garden cooperative. We share ideas and we are now doing the same even in our traditional farming activities. For instance, I can ask members of my group to help me in my field in one day, and on the next day we go and work in another man's field and so on. We have allocated different days for work in the gardens and for work in our own individual fields. This is improving our farming activities.
Mpofu also loads the cooperatives and says working in groups is also helping members to find solutions to other problems that they encounter in their daily lives. Like most communal areas across the country, Lower Gweru does not receive much rainfall and most villagers are often faced with hunger due to poor harvests. Gift Nguve, the local councillor, said the project will go a long way in helping locals fight hunger and dependency.
This is a very good program because having to live on handouts is difficult because they will always be limited. But if you are given knowledge to do things for yourself, to grow your own crops, you'll be able to grow more than enough. We sometimes cry for handouts but always complain that they are not enough. If we are given the knowledge to grow our own crops, we become self-sufficient.
At the moment, all cooperatives are depending on natural sources of water or shallow wells for watering their gardens. The farmers who spoke to Studio 7 said their wish is to have their cooperatives thrive so that they can sink boreholes, which would provide more water. Speaking during the commissioning of the project recently, Japanese Ambassador Yozeno Fukuda urged local farmers to embrace new farming methods in order to deal with the problem of climate change. The Japanese embassy provided nearly $113,000 for the farming skills improvement project. Provincial Affairs Minister Jason Machaya thanked the Japanese embassy and helped Germany for the project, saying it is in line with government's priority to ensure food security in the country. Zimbabwe used to be the sub-region's breadbasket, but years of economic decline and climate change, among other problems, have seen many people needing food assistance every year. Reporting for Studio 7 from Mankunzani Township in Lower Gweru, this is Taurai Shava.
A some local youths with links to ZANU-PF are next month expected to begin a mission targeting a number of countries in Africa, Europe and the United States, narrating what they say is Zimbabwe's true story as they charge information on the country has been deliberately distorted on the international arena. The initiative will also call for the removal of what it says are illegal sanctions against President Robert Mugabe and some of his top lieutenants and companies. Jonga Kandemiri spoke with Vimbai Kanyunganise, the initiative spokesperson.
The message that we're trying to bring is that we'd like to tell the story of our Zimbabwe, the Zimbabwe that we know, and not looking at the Zimbabwe which has been portrayed by media, a lot of international media, a lot of foreign media, and people who have maybe not even set foot in Zimbabwe, who don't know about Zimbabwe, who don't know about the people of Zimbabwe, and who don't know about the opportunities in Zimbabwe. So our role really, it's an organization really just to tell the true story of Zimbabwe, to realign the truth and what's been out there all along for the last couple of years. As you know, the media is very interested in Zimbabwe, but the story that's been told has been very negative. So that is what ZGI is about.
How are you planning to initiate this?
The plan is to obviously take the story out to where it's been told the most. Like, for example, in South Africa, there isn't a day where you don't come across a story on Zimbabwe. So in that case, we're going to take the story to South Africa. So we're going on a tour. The tour is starting with people from ZGI traveling into South Africa in April. That's actually next month. And holding media briefings, speaking to people in industry, talking about the opportunities, people who want investment. So it's from a media point of view, it's from an economic point of view, it's from a political point of view, and just giving them answers to questions which they may have. Also telling the truth where maybe something has been distorted and bringing those kind of things out into the light.
Is this a government initiative or it's a party initiative?
A party initiative. It's got people from across political divides. It's not something that's going to be run as a government thing. You know, we want it to be non-partisan. We don't want anyone to think this is a ZANU-PF thing or it's a government. It's an initiative. It's a Zimbabwean initiative. So it's a national initiative.
A spokesperson Vimbai Kanyunganise of the Zimbabwe Global Initiative speaking with Jonga Kandemiri from South Africa. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to Tatenda Gumbo giving us the Youth Forum as usual.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Simbarashe Mungu, who participated in President Obama's Young African Leaders Initiative. Simbarashe, thank you so much for joining me today.
It is all mine, Tatenda.
Now, tell me more about your time when you were with the Young African Leaders Initiative. How did you find yourself to be in the program? And also, how did you find this experience? I understand you came in 2012.
That is correct. I started a company in Zimbabwe that was focused on agro-processing. And more importantly, it was focused on resuscitating a bankrupt asset that were deemed dead, to be quite frank. So this meant going into towns and cities that did not seem to have a future and investing in them and resuscitating the business in those companies. One of the companies I did that with is called Harvest Threshold, which used to be called Bonzim and Chegutim. So this is a company that we're still in the process of resuscitating. We've got goals for it, and we're looking to resuscitate the agriculture sector within the Chegutu area. So through that, I was invited to participate in IALI, and IALI gave me the opportunity to network with other Africans.
Looking at your time in the program, how would you say it's impacted your view on the interests of Africa, of Zimbabwe, and also what young people can bring?
I mean, it transformed my views. You know, Africa has a phenomenal future, and the growth stories that you're hearing at the moment are being driven by young people. No question about it. So I believe that we are actually going to benefit from this demographic dividend that we have in Africa, and it's not a curse. All these young people have got ideas. And as long as we're able to nurture these ideas, help young entrepreneurs and homegrown businesses, I think there's a great future. One of the ways in which we can do that is I think it's important to institutionalize the funds in the informal sector, which is where most young people tend to work, so that they can participate comprehensively in this whole African growth story.
Looking at the importance of the Young African Leaders Initiative, how would you say it's going to impact young people in Africa as it continues, but also bringing in the relationship with young people in America, young people in different countries, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, South Africa, wherever it might be?
You know what's interesting? I went to a Young African Leaders program a couple of months back and looked at the caliber of individuals that had applied for this program. Okay, never before had I seen that many people of that caliber from across the country. So you're not only talking about urban areas, you're talking about the most rural of rural areas who are doing phenomenal things, whether it be in civic society, in business, whatever it may be, all in one place, sharing ideas and networking, right? You can't put a price tag to that. That is absolutely phenomenal, and that's where Africa should be going.
Yeah, like what you're mentioning here when you're saying that even in Zimbabwe itself, seeing the caliber of young people that are coming out and showing what they're doing is of importance. But can you also talk about how that shouldn't be a deterrent to anyone who has a vital idea?
Yeah, this. Space for that in Africa. There is a space for all sorts of growth in every single sector imaginable. There is not one sector in Africa whereby we've reached maturity stage, right? So any idea, as long as it can be nurtured well, packaged well, I think can succeed.
And you spoke about your business expanding throughout Zimbabwe, targeting rural areas, but also going out to other countries within the continent.
As I mentioned earlier, it's all about the networking. So me meeting other business leaders or young entrepreneurs from other African countries, them pitching to me the value of me coming to their country, and me seeing that value and going in and executing is what allowed me to expand my business interests. So where do I see myself in a few years? Well, you know, at the moment, the focus is really on expanding this business, telling the story, nurturing and mentoring other entrepreneurs so that we may have homegrown African businesses that are successful on a global scale. That's very important for the upcoming Africans who need examples of Africans who are able to do that. And hopefully one day I can be that example.
Simbarashi, I do want to thank you very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you very much, Tatinda. I appreciate it.
Join me next week as we continue our conversation with Zimbabweans who participated in this program to find out where are they now and how do they benefit from this program. This is Tatinda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next time.
At that song, Pata Pata, from our very own legend, Oliver Mtukudze, bringing us to the end of today's bulletin. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, March 23rd, 2014. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Sithandekile Mhlanga. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a blessed week ahead. Good night.
Siyabonga Sandra Nyaira, siyalamukela ku Studio 7 ngensonto mhla ka 23 ngoMpimbitho 2014.